Good morning and welcome to our church service here at Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls. This is Pentecost Sunday. For those of you who may be watching on Zoom, we ask you to please remember to mute yourselves so that other people may be able to enjoy the service. Wayne, would you please call us to worship?
It was confusing and astonishing, a mighty wind blowing inside the house, tongues of fire that didn't burn but brought to life, many languages spoken, but everyone understood, bewildering, amazing. Let us come together to worship the coming of the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost Sunday.
Our hymn is 369, Blessed Assurance, and we'll sing all three verses.
Prayer of confession. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us confess our sins to God and one another. We confess, gracious God, that we are not worthy of your love for us. You lead us out of the land of slavery, yet when the journey is hard, we long to return to the comfort of our chains. You speak to us through your prophets, telling us how rebellion hurts and angers you. Yet we harden our hearts and close our ears. You come to us in Jesus, revealing your love for all people, suffering pain for us. Still, we do not turn in love and obedience to you. We do that which we ought not to, leave undone those things we ought to do. There is no health in us. Sinful and rebellious as we are, we cannot trust in ourselves and the things that we do. We can trust only in your grace. Speak the words, O God, and we shall be made free. Forgive us, receive us, and give us courage to serve you with renewed hearts and wills. Through the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. God will not leave us without hope. The graceful gift of Jesus is proof positive of that blessed assurance.
We are accepted by God.
God will enable us to express our troublesome thoughts and memories.
We are forgiven by God.
God will give us confidence to speak of new things, to work in new ways, and to cooperate with new people.
We are renewed by God.
Pardon and peace are yours.
Thanks be to God.
Now, if you will join me, turn to the back of your hymnals. We will read our UCC Statement of Faith. We believe in you, O God, eternal Spirit, God of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and our God, and to your deeds we testify. You call the world into being, create persons in your own image, and set before each one the ways of life and death. You seek in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. You judge people and nations by your righteous will, declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, you have come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to yourself. You bestow upon us your Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. You call us into your church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be your servants in the service of others, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. You promise to all who trust you forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, your presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in your realm which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto you. Amen.
This is the time we share our announcements. You will notice at the end of the pews we have out envelopes for the Communion Fund. We have not been taking this during the pandemic, so we need to once again be asking for money for the Communion Fund. For those of you who don't know what that's for, that is for me to have to give to people who might be in need, who come and ask for help. And these days I have a feeling we're going to be asked for a lot of help between baby formula and gas, the price of gas, and so forth. So whatever you can give would be gratefully accepted. Sherilyn, do you want to tell us about VBS once again? This is the last Sunday, I believe, before we have the registration, the last day of registration, although I'm sure we're not going to turn anyone away.
Yeah, so the VBS registration actually closed on Friday. Okay. We are going to be making a decision on Tuesday at our CE meeting whether or not to move forward with VBS. So if you know your child, grandchild, you know someone who is planning on attending, please let me know or Kathy know by Tuesday. So we can make that decision. I've talked with a few people, but we've not gotten very many actual registrations and confirmations of people attending. So if you know someone who wants to attend, please let me know by Tuesday. And then the only other announcement I'll make, because there are some CE meetings, CE committee members here, is that our meeting will actually be at 8 o'clock on Tuesday this month, instead of the 7 o'clock that's in the program.
Thank you for that, Sherilyn. And just so you remember, I don't know if everyone remembered the time change, but you did, so thank you for that. That is going to be all summer long until the last Sunday in August, and then the first Sunday in September, we go back to a 10 o'clock service. I will be on vacation in July. That's my usual month to take off, and so if any of you are just dying to preach, please call me and let me know. I already do have two volunteers, and I won't reveal who they are right now, but if you would like to do that, please let us know, and we'd be glad to accommodate you. Are there any other announcements that we need to make? If not, then let us remember how much God has truly blessed each and every one of us as we present our morning's gifts and our tithes and our offerings. Gracious God, we come before you full of gratitude for all you have first done for us. We pray that you would bless these gifts that we bring forward. We ask that we might use them to forward your mission in the community and around the world. And we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
I'm going to sing a hymn today that's right out of our hymnal, and it's I Need Thee Every Hour, and I thought it was a little pun, seeing we changed our time, but then when I read through the words, I realized we do need the Lord every hour, and it's not just this hour that we're in church, because how many times do we leave, and we're already blowing our horn at somebody, or upset because somebody has 13 items in the 12-item line at Shores. So we do need the every hour. It's like a battery charge when we come here, but it needs to last the whole week. So always keep that in mind. Thank you.
Most gracious, precious Lord, no tender voice in thine. Oh, can that peace afford? I need thee every hour, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. Promises in me, please fulfill. I need thee, oh, I need thee. I need every hour. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I come to thee. I need. Oh, I come to thee. I need thee every hour.
Thank you for that amen, Cora. Isn't it wonderful to hear her voice in our service? This is the time we share our celebrations. We had our last family feast, and it may truly be our last family feast last Friday night because Kathy has said that she can no longer do that. So again, be thinking of it over the summer. If someone would like to do one, just one, she's willing to help you design it, plan it, and pull it off, but she's just beyond her ability to continue to do that. So I'd like to celebrate Kathy for being so faithful at doing that all year long, and it's really been a joy to see other people at the church and so forth. And as I said, I will be on vacation next month. I don't know whether that's a celebration or a concern. And North Attleboro and other schools in the area had their graduations, I believe, this past week. And Allison Darling was here last week and celebrated that with her. And so I certainly celebrate it once again now that she has actually graduated. I understand she is going to be going to Wheaton College in Norton. So good to know she's staying close to home. Are there any other celebrations? Any other people who have graduations? Okay, I see two. Nancy, I'll ask for Cheryl first. Graduated from Bishop Fee, and your granddaughter, Sophie. Okay, very good. Very good. Very. 7 high honors out of 10. Excellent. That's worth celebrating. Great. Nancy Mitchell? Oh, you do have a new baby. Oh, wow. Okay. Jonah? Yeah. And tell us how many that makes in that family? Number 9 child. Wow. Wow. Already walking. Wow. Well, congratulations. That's always good news. Always good news. Any other celebrations? Yes. Juliet Riendo, thank you for that. Yes, okay. I only had the North Attleboro ones at hand. Great, thank you for that. Any other graduations or anything else you would like to celebrate? If not, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family, and these are the people for whom we continue to pray. Ed Dyer is still at home, to my knowledge. Jackie Howard's friend Harry developed COVID. So we pray for both her and him, since she's afraid that she's probably going to get it as well. Barbara Billsborough is still recovering from COVID as well. We have these people who have ongoing medical issues. Jen, Lee, Marge, Marilyn, Diane, and Janet, Bonnie, and Kathy. For those who are in the nursing homes, we continue to pray for Jackie Glass is now back at the Naples in Wrentham, and she unfortunately is now in hospice care. So our thoughts and prayers are with her and her family. We also remember Carolyn Farrell and Nancy Kelly. That's Kathy Trowbridge's mother, has taken up permanent residence at the Branches. So she will be in assisted living from now on. For other prayers, we always pray for those who struggle with addictions. We pray for our nation and the well-being of the world during these very trying times. We pray for the people of Ukraine, and especially we pray for world peace. And our mission this summer that you'll be hearing more about is the summer cafes for kids, for those kids who may miss a meal when schools close. So our thoughts and prayers are with that mission as well. So let us be in a moment of prayer as we continue to worship God, and let us lift up any other names in that time of silence that you wish to do, as well as those that we have mentioned today. Let us pray. God of many names and manifestations, God of cloud and fire and burning bushes, God of wind and flame at that first Pentecost, we pray that you would reveal yourself to us as well is in the sacrament of Holy Communion, in which we will partake this morning. Draw us closer to you, as did the Last Supper draw the disciples into the realization that Christ was soon going to leave them. Remind us that Jesus told them that he was sending your Holy Spirit to be with us always, to comfort and to heal us. You have always been there, and yet you remain a mystery to us. Do you hide yourself from us to distract us from the pursuits of the trivial? Is your mystery intentional or just too much for our limited minds or short attention spans? Teach us to listen behind the form of the words to the sounds of emotion, to discern the echoes of hollowness, to detect the haughtiness of arrogance, to measure the strength of challenge, to plumb the depths of sincerity, to discover hidden agendas, to gauge the degree of honesty. Teach us to be straightforward in our speaking, that we may not hide from each other in endless games of confusion and misunderstanding. Make us slow to blame others and quick to forgive as you have forgiven us. Hear our prayers for those whose names we have mentioned here today, and hear the names of others whom we hold in our hearts and prayers today. Loving God, minister to each of these people as you know they have need. We do not pray for a mighty wind, O God, our Creator, nor for tongues of flame. Yet in humbler guise, we ask that your Holy Spirit be in truth among us as we hail the church and its mission, both here and around the world. Let it rouse us from lethargy, inspire us with faith, commit us to labor, and fill us with hope. In fact, make us what we already claim to be, disciples of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is in his name that we pray the words he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This Sunday is called Pentecost Sunday in the Christian year. The term Pentecost comes from a Greek word meaning 50th. It refers back to the Jewish festival celebrated on the 50th day after the first fruits, meaning 50 days after the first harvest of the year. The disciples were in Jerusalem as instructed by Jesus before his ascension to heaven. There were many other Jews in Jerusalem for the Jewish festival of Shavuot. I will be reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Please hear these words. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now they were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others sneered and said, They are filled with new wine. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. That's a difficult one to read with all those ancient names, isn't it? Is there anyone here who is bilingual? You know what it means to be bilingual, to speak two languages? No? Anyone here who's trilingual? There are a lot of people who speak three languages. If so, you were raised speaking a language other than English, if you happen to be bilingual. You may have learned it as a second language. It may have been your first. I was a foreign language major in college. I have studied and used several languages over my lifetime. Now, I'm not bragging here, but these are the languages I have studied: French, Spanish, Latin, Greek, German, and Korean. But you know the old adage, use it or lose it? Yeah, I haven't used them in years and I have lost it. I'm not even sure I can speak English correctly anymore some days. There's a federal agency called the Foreign Service Institute in our country that trains diplomats to operate in other countries. The folks at FSI also provide advanced language training in over 65 languages. 65 languages. Think of that in terms of Pentecost, because there were a lot of people there from a lot of different places. This organization ranked all the major languages according to how difficult they are to learn. And they discovered that among the easier languages for English-speaking people to learn are, number one is Swedish. How about that, Warner? You and I have Swedish roots. Swedish, Spanish, and French. The more difficult languages to learn are Arabic, Chinese, Japanese, and Korean. These days, I'm not sure I can remember hardly anything of any one of those. There's a story told by Reverend J. Barry Shepherd, who had pastored at various Presbyterian churches in the United States. And like many Presbyterian pastors, he is originally from Scotland. He came to the U.S. to study at Yale Divinity School before he had a church of his own. And after he had been in the country a couple of weeks, he needed to catch a cab somewhere. The cab driver heard his Scottish accent and asked him where he was from. He said, oh, I'm from Scotland. And how long have you been in the country? Oh, 2 weeks or so. The cab driver responded, you sure did learn the language fast. Evidently didn't know that English is also spoken in Scotland. The apostles, those disciples who had been present at the resurrection or had been a part of the events when Jesus appeared to them after the resurrection, are still confused. They spent much of their life confused, thanks to Jesus. The book of Acts is a continuation of Luke's gospel, and Jesus had appeared several times to the disciples. And the last question the disciples asked Jesus before he ascended into heaven was, now are you going to make Israel great again and be recognized as our king? To which Jesus answers, it's not for us to know the plan and the will of God. And then he disappeared into heaven. The last thing Jesus commanded to his disciples before that ascension was to wait for him in Jerusalem. However, their waiting had a critical purpose. They were supposed to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. For when that happened, they would be Christ's witnesses, as it says in the first chapter of the book of Acts, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so they waited. Those poor disciples, confused and lost again, they did what they always did. They returned to their Jewish roots, and they went to Jerusalem, probably because Jesus commanded it, and maybe just because it was time for another Jewish celebration called Shavuot. So here they are, gathered together. There were many Jews, we're told, from all over the known world in Jerusalem for that festival, just as there had been for the Passover that year when Jesus celebrated the Last Supper with his disciples. And suddenly there is this mighty wind and flames all around, and something very weird happened. All of the disciples, most of them illiterate Galileans, started speaking in other tongues, and all of the foreigners understood what was being said in their own languages. Many of those who heard were amazed at what they heard, but others were skeptical and thought the disciples were just plain drunk. But it's the morning, and they were not drunk. But there was excitement on that first Pentecost. It's embarrassing sometimes how little the modern-day church resembles the church of that first Pentecost. The sound of the windstorm, the tongues of fire, the disciples speaking in different languages, thousands being added to the church, and lots of excitement, excitement everywhere. A family was driving a large camper, and they pulled up in front of a church just as the pastor started toward home. And desiring to be friendly, the pastor introduced himself and expressed his admiration for their camper. The man of the family told him rather proudly, "This camper sleeps eight people, And then that person asked, and what's the capacity of your church, Pastor? Oh, it sleeps about 80. Truer words were never spoken. Those present at the first Pentecost were energized by their association with one another. They ate together, they prayed together, they sang together, they had all things in common, we are told. They built each other up in the faith. And that's the way the Christian community was designed, to regenerate itself. We are to build one another up, to encourage one another. Such power in encouragement. And then we're supposed to go out and find others, obviously. Sometimes we New Englanders are embarrassed by emotionalism, aren't we? Yeah, we are. I am, I admit it. We tend to favor rationalism, don't we? In a church service, a newcomer to worship was getting excited by what the preacher was saying, and he cried out, "Praise the Lord!" And an elder of the church immediately went to him and said, "Sir, this is a Presbyterian church. Here we do not praise the Lord." Oops, that's really not what that elder planned to say, I suspect. And I'm not saying anything about the Presbyterian church, because you know what? We find that's true also in the United Church of Christ. A little girl was visiting her grandmother in a small country town in the South, and they had a very emotional service going where people expressed their feelings by jumping about and shouting, what we might call a holy roller church in New Englandese. The little girl asked her grandmother if all the jumping meant that the Holy Spirit was really there. And her grandmother said, what wisdom, "Honey, it don't matter how high they jump up, it's what they do when they come down that will tell you if it's the real thing." Amen and amen. The church of the Pentecost set the pattern for us. Pentecost is not about jumping up and down. It's about getting out from behind closed doors and going into the streets to meet people where they are. It's about building strong bonds of fellowship within the church. It's about seeking God in prayer. We have something good going on here. I believe that here at Central Congregational Church, we do have community. And we have a heart for reaching out and helping others. And we are about to begin to understand what we are going to need to do to attract others to what we have. We met with our consultation person, Reverend Don Remick, with the Executive Council. And we have to be able to make changes, you know. There's no more going back to where we were pre-COVID. Everything has changed. And we must move along with it. Doesn't matter how high we jump, as long as we follow Christ into the world and extend our hand to others. And just as the apostles had been at Passover that year when Jesus celebrated the Last Supper with his disciples and the Holy Spirit revisited them on Pentecost, let us gather now around this table to share Holy Communion as Christians have done for over 2,000 years.
Our communion hymn is 618, 618, "Let Us Break Bread Together." We're going to sing those first three verses.
please call us to the table?
Luke the evangelist wrote of our risen Savior, who at the table with two of the disciples took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened and they recognized the risen Christ in the breaking of bread.
In company with all believers in every time and beyond time, we come to this table to know the risen Christ in the breaking of bread.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to God.
Let us give thanks to God Most High.
It is right to give God thanks and praise. I'm going to ask the deacons to come forward now to distribute the elements. Let us pray. Holy God, we praise and bless you for creation and the gift of life and for your abiding love, which brings us close to you, the source of all blessing. We thank you for revealing your will for us in the giving of the law and in the preaching of the prophets. We thank you especially that in the fullness of time you sent Jesus, born of Mary, to live in our midst, to share in our suffering, and to accept the pain of death at the hands of those whom Jesus loved. We rejoice that in a perfect victory over the grave, you raised Christ with power to become sovereign in your realm. We celebrate the coming of your Holy Spirit to gather your church, by which your work may be done in the world and through which we share the gift of eternal life. With the faithful in every place and time, we praise with joy your holy name, saying together the words of the Sanctus. Holy, 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 God of love and majesty, the whole universe speaks of your glory, O God Most High. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of our God. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. We remember that on the night of betrayal and desertion, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it and broke it. He also took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink of this, all of you, and do this in remembrance of me." And so we ask that you would now share the bread together. This is the body of Christ, broken for you and for me. Eat of it and be thankful. And now take the cup. And remember that this is the blood of Christ shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this and remember Christ. Let us pray. We ask that you consecrate, therefore, by your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine that we have shared, and bless us that as we receive them at this table, we have offered you our praise and our faith, and we may be united with Christ and with one another, and may continue faithful in all things. Amen. Before we share the prayer of thanksgiving, I would like to ask the deacons to pick up those cups from you. Wayne, please lead us in the prayer of thanksgiving.
We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us at your table by granting the presence of Jesus Christ. Strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another, and send us forth into the world in courage and peace, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Let us sing our final hymn, which is 133, Leaning on Everlasting Arms. Thank you.
Hear the word of the Lord. I dwell in the high and holy place, but also with you who are humble in spirit. Go in peace. Abide in the Lord. Do good work. The Holy One is our guardian and guide forever. Amen. Thank you.